Golf Show with some golf guys, Brent Cutting and Sam McKee here. We had not a major, not the fifth major, but it was a big tournament. So figure time for a check-in here. Scotty Scheffler, simply unbeatable. The chef, as I like to call him, both via text or via emoji when I'm texting about him. He was nails this weekend, McKee. It's a bad way to start off a podcast. I really don't know what more we can say.
I think... Yeah, it was a pretty remarkable weekend from Scotty Scheffler. I think there's a lot of kind of narrative around him that it's like really a chicken and the egg situation where people kind of, I don't want to say everyone else kind of just fades away in some of his big wins, right? Like you think about this tournament where he had, you know, Minwoo Lee in his final pairing and he birdies the first hole and you're like, okay, here we go now. And then he immediately triple bogeys three, and he's kind of doesn't have anyone really pushing him for the rest of the day. So it was even like that in the Masters kind of when he won, right, with Cam Smith. I know Cam Smith birdied 11 and then immediately dunked one on 12. That kind of took away the pressure. But it feels that a lot of the wins that he's had, guys have kind of faded away down the stretch. And I don't know which side of it I'm on in terms of that's good fortune for him or his incredibly steady play and his just ability to make birdies in big situations. What did he make, five in a row yesterday?
Yeah.
I don't know which side of it I'm on in terms of him being just so good that he lets everybody else fade away or he's gotten good fortune. Which side of it are you on?
I think it started out as good fortune, and now it's just the steady nature of his play makes him be this guy. He had the quote, he didn't tell anybody about this until after he won the Masters, but where he was shaking and crying in his kitchen and telling his wife he didn't think he could do it. That to me, and I'm sure if you go back and ask this version of Scotty Scheffler, that sounds like a guy who is dying to gag away the Masters the second he got any pressure put on him, but it never really happened. But if it were Tiger having tournament wins like this, and I want to be clear, Scotty Scheffler isn't Tiger. Nobody is. If Rory isn't and all these other guys were, Scotty Scheffler certainly isn't yet. But if Tiger was having wins like this, we'd say, well, that's just what happens. Once he gets cooking, everyone just fades away. So I think now that we've seen it happen so many times, I do think you have to give him some credit there. But I also think there is a little bit of luck at play there. I mean, you know, I have for later on, but just like you mentioned, none of the big boys around. There was a moment there where Spieth makes the cut on the number. Then he goes six under the next day, and you think, oh, is he going to have the early charge? No, it's Tyrrell Hatton. And look, he played amazing yesterday, but it's just not something to have you quaking in your boots, especially when a guy's five shots ahead. So I'm with you there. Or I will say, I think it started out as a little bit of luck, but now this is just who he is. He doesn't really have the big blow-up mistake, and it seems like every time he has one, whoever he's paired up with has it too. There were a couple moments like that early on when Minwoo Lee was still kind of floating around. You say, uh-oh, door's open here, and he could never just take advantage. Now, would a better player have been able to do that? Somebody who'd been more in more of those moments, possibly, but you can only beat who's in front of you, so I don't think you can take anything away. One other thing I wanted to throw at you about the chef as well is, does anybody chip it? I'm sure there are guys who chip in more throughout the course of a season. Nobody chips in more in the big tournaments that everybody's watching than Scheffler. He had the two this weekend. You go back to the Augusta, we think of it there. I don't know, maybe it's just three and those are going to stick out forever. It feels like whenever he needs it, he can hold a chip out.
Yeah, that the one on Saturday murdered Adam Svensson in cold blood. Never recovered from that. He had to get up and down for par, and he was leading by one at the time. And then he chips in for eagle. Then I think he bogeyed it, goes to nine, and then he's never really heard of again from that after that. So, yeah, those chip-ins are remarkable. That one that he hit on Saturday, that high flop shot, that's just as good as it gets. It was inch perfect. It's just he's really, really good at it. And they said that with him and his caddy, they said on the broadcast that they had like a bet that I forget the amount of money that he had to pay to his caddy.
I think those guys are allowed to gamble.
Yeah, but they had like a bet in terms of like he would have 10 chip-ins in the season and he had it before the Masters. So I'd say that's pretty good. I think that's more of a track record than luck at this point. Like you're pretty good at chipping it in. It's funny that tournament really flipped in like a 10-minute window where it was getting really, really exciting. I think, Scheffler was at 14, and Hideki Matsuyama had got it to 12 under, and Minwoo Lee had got it back to 11 under. It was like, oh boy, here, we actually have a tournament. and then Hideki doubles, Minwoo Lee just falls off the cliff. It really switched in like a 10-minute period where it seemed like it was going to be compelling. But yeah, I hate the narrative that it's boring. And I even saw Kyle Porter put out an article with the headline, you know, Scottie Scheffler is boring. And, you know, he was looking for the clicks and he got them and people were killing him on Twitter for him. Like, well, what'd you expect? I don't know what you expect for, he's like, well, read the article. I'm like, yeah, everyone does that. So good move by you. But I really, really do enjoy watching him play golf. And I know that it was lacking drama. And like, if you're just a kind of a casual fan, I could understand you flipping it on to something else on a Sunday afternoon. I really would. But from a pure golf fan's perspective, the way he does it, man, it's really beautiful. Like, he is as perfect as it gets right now in terms of every aspect of his game. The way he was driving the ball yesterday, Gunner, was just, it was murdering Minwoo. He couldn't compete. He was hitting it 320. He was hitting it 100 yards past Lee every shot. So it's just every part of his game is so perfect. And I love watching it. The swing's unique. He's not cookie cutter like a lot of these guys. He's working the ball around. He's putting beautifully. He's chipping, like you said. It's a really, really fun thing to watch. You just wish, for a drama perspective, that he had one guy that was within like two or three strokes of him.
So a couple things there. On Minwoo, and I was all in, loved his look from the jump. The greasy stash, he's looking like Macho Man out there. He goes Tiger Mock Neck. You can't have that whole look and be Iron Man off the tee. I'm sorry. Like, there is a grip it and rip it element, and look, I understand. Guy's professional. He's going to make as much money as he can. I get it. You're going to play the game that got you there. You just can't look like that and not be gripping it and ripping it, cruising all over the place. If you told me one of these guys has wicked footwork and is slinging at 330 and it's moving all over the place, I would not think it's Scottie Scheffler. I would think it's the guy who looked like he was birthed out of John Daly's, like, you know, back alley somewhere or something. Like, I could not believe that was Minwoo's game. In terms of Scheffler, the more you mention it, he's just the perfect foil. Like they always say in comedy, you need a straight man, right? And that's what he is. If you get him there with a Rahm who seems so fiery, or a Rory who wears everything on his sleeve, or even, you know, guys who, sorry, haven't been a factor in quite a while, a Bryson who's this eccentric character, he is the perfect foil against just about every other kind of exciting young star you can have. It just stinks that we haven't really got to see it yet. And I'm not putting that as a knock on Scheffler. You can only beat who's in front of you, but that's what it feels like will really kind of highlight the differences. And honestly, it's like he is the kind of perfect white bread star to go up against a generation of guys that is like a little more sexy than we would have thought of pro golfers 5 or 10 years ago.
Absolutely. And like, there's no doubt he's not the most electrifying personality. Like that does play into this. And right? Like, it's just...
Oh, I was watching the Netflix series with my wife, and she is killing him even. Oh, get popcorn in the bed, Meredith. That's the most exciting thing they could have got out of him, is that his wife irks him when she eats popcorn in the bed. It's nothing.
So, to start this year, I guess we'll start the year at the Hero World Challenge. Is that fair?
Good with me.
Yeah, so he finished second there. The Century Tournament Champions, he was tied for 7th. American Express, tied for 11th. Won at the Phoenix Open. Tied for 12th at the Genesis, tied for 4th at the Arnold Palmer, and he won at the Players' Championship.
Pretty good.
So he's just red hot now, and there's just, like, the one thing I love when golfers get to this point of their sort of, you know, their arcs when they're really, really hot, there's just a sense of inevitability that it's like, you know, it's like a good home field advantage or a good home ice advantage. When you're watching the playoffs, it's like, yeah, well, it's going to go through Boston, or it's going to go through, you know, New York, or it's going to go through. If you want to win any tournament this year or for the next coming years, it feels like you're really just going to have to beat this guy. He is the best player. He's number one in the world now, right? Again, like, he just went back up to number one. He's number one for a reason. You just don't get to win a golf tournament without him having a conversation. Look at those numbers I just told you. 7th, 4th, 1st, top 10, top, like, he's just always there. And listen, I always have a little soft spot for him because I feel like I was, before it was cool, you know, I'm like that guy that like listened to the Kings of Leon first album and I was like, yeah, I'm the coolest guy in the world because I liked their first album. I was talking to you about how much I love Scottie Scheffler in his rookie year and him coming up. So I feel like I have a little bit of, you know, I like him and I get to kind of cheer for him even harder than some people. So I do love that aspect of it. But the problem is, Gunner, and I told you this yesterday, I have not won money on him. Like, I've bet I bet on him all the time in his rookie year. I'm like, this is going to be the one. He was always long odds. I was like, oh, he's 35 to 1. This is the time I'm going to make the money. And now when he's winning all the time, I'm like, ah, there's no way I could bet Scottie Scheffler at 10 to 1. That's absurd. And they're like, well, you know what? He's probably going to win. So just bet him. Like, just bet, like, take the shorter odds because he's going to be in the conversation. You're going to get a sweat. Maybe you get a cash out. Like, maybe just bet Scottie Scheffler now that he wins everything as opposed to when he never won.
Yeah, probably that would be smart. Go back and have that conversation with yourself 8 months ago. The amount of money we'd be able to make if we could go back and have just really recent conversations with ourselves about don't do that or do that because it's very dumb or very smart.
Be like Biff in Back to the Future. Get the sports almanac going. We'd be killing it.
Oh, we would. Boy, would we. Okay, so not last thing on Scheffler, but just it's funny. You were in on him early. I was out on him early, and now I feel like I have to stay out. I respect the game. I love it to death. The game just cannot. There's almost always someone else I find myself rooting for. Now, at the Players, you want a good winner, and once he gets five shots up, it's okay, let's run this thing up. How low can you go? I'm wholly on board. Love to watch him play, but like I said, get me him in a final pair with a guy who matters, and I'd be shocked if I would find myself not rooting against him a little bit. So that's where I kind of fall on it. Does it matter to you at all? They were pumping the purse all weekend. $4.5 million for the winner. Everybody inside the top five gets $1 million check. Does that do anything for you? Does it like up your interest 2%, change anything for you at all?
No, not really, because I know how rich these guys are.
Very rich.
It's like, yeah, every single guy is extremely rich. So, like, I don't really need, it's like, oh, yeah, they've got all the five golfers who got in the top five at this massive purse tournament are going to be even more rich. Like, to me, I kind of know that they're all rich. But to me, and this, our thoughts on Liv, but to me, this is just a direct shot at the Liv Tour, right? Like, they're probably told, they're like, Zinger, keep talking about how much money this tournament is making these guys, how rich these guys are, and how dumb all those guys that went over to Liv look now that there's the money that the PGA Tour was holding out on all these guys forever. Like, I'm sure Zinger got a card from Jay Monahan being like, oh, just talk about how good these purses are. Oh, like, it really does feel like to me that they're really just taking a direct shot at Liv with talking about how big these purses are all the time. It's an absurdly big purse. They're like, it's a $25 million. I'm like, whoa, my God. Like, that's so much.
Do you think anyone, forget in the golfing world, outside of his own family, like Zinger as much as we do?
No, not a chance. All I ever hear about is how much people hate Zinger. And I'm like, guys, you just don't understand.
What? I'm like, what are you watching? I don't know. Is there a different Zinger? Is he the guy doing the call in the morning? And to your point about the money, he kept normally, he loves to talk about the sound. He was talking about it hitting a bag of coins. Like, he just had money on the brain this weekend. You don't know how good that is when it hits the bank account? Direct deposit. You don't know how good that is. Oh, we love Zinger. He's our white whale.
I'm going to get Zinger on the golf show this year. I promise you. As producer, I promise you that. Zinger will be joining us at some point this year.
There we go. Last one on the money. Tyrrell Hatton, this shouldn't – I don't care that Tyrrell Hatton made any more money, but anytime a guy can go out one day of work and basically make himself $2 million, he was sitting at about $500,000, and he vaulted himself into second place. Just unbelievable the day he had. And for a guy who wears it all in his sleeve, I would love to have heard the internal monologue if the money at all entered it for him. Because it's one thing to go from – again, it's all relative, but like for these guys, it's one thing to go from 500 to 750. To go from 500 to 2.5 million is obscene.
Okay, so a couple things on that. I got texted a brilliant idea from my good friend Madison, who we've played golf with many times.
Love Maddie.
And he texted me, he said, they should have on the back nine on Sunday, they should have the money counter.
Mm.
And I was like, what do you mean the money counter? He's like, well, no, so when a guy misses a putt and he bogeys, you see how much money he's losing with this putt, or you see how much money he's making with this putt. I was like, that is a brilliant idea. Why haven't they done that? They keep bragging about how much the purse is. It's like, just put a little money counter on there, and I'd be so into that.
I guarantee you, and this is exactly the term I think the tour brass would use, which is ridiculous, because like we just said, they spent the whole weekend talking about all the money these guys are going to make.
Bragging.
They would say it was gauche. Wouldn't want to do that. It's too gauche. You don't want to do that. That is what they would say. I'm with you. I would love to see it. Also, they would do it to highlight a guy making 75K or whatever. I don't think, because they're still kind of in a little bit of the business of protecting these guys and their egos and all that. It's a problem. I'm not going to sit here and defend it, but that's why. Like, I would love to see it. It's just never going to happen.
Like, imagine they're like, when Aaron Ray hits the ball. Aaron Rye. Is it Aaron Rye?
Yeah.
Sorry, Aaron Ray. I was calling him Aaron Ray. Whatever. He made an ace. But then imagine when he dunked it on 18. It's like, splash. And then it's like, ka-ching. And it's like, 500K gone.
It's actually like an old video game. You got like the coins coming out of the water. Like, bring, bring, bring.
I absolutely love that idea. And I think for casuals on a Sunday afternoon where the result is completely already decided, yeah, I think that would be a way to keep people a little bit more invested, just seeing how much money is actually on the line for these putts. Like, guys have these putts. Like, what did that birdie on, like, I would love to know the exact term, what that birdie made Tyrrell Hatton on 18. Because it got him into solo second, right?
Yeah.
That was the most unbelievable birdie, considering how the pressure on the line in terms of money. Like, he's in the pine straw, and he hits one like a hook, and it stops on a dime, and then he hits a 10-foot birdie putt. Big smile on his face, big fist pump. I love that. So, I don't know. I love the idea for my boy Maddie about the money counter. I guess we'll never get it. We'll never get the coins flying out of the water when Aaron Rye's dunk it in there with two gloves and Tommy Fleetwood double bogey in it as usual. I think that's a great idea. So we can move on from it because you think it's too gauche.
No, I don't think it's too gauche. I think they think it's too gauche.
Right.
And just, I did not give Hatton enough credit. At the turn, he was sitting at 5 under, which would have netted him at the time a prize of 143.
What a bum.
Not a bad week of work.
That sucks. Yeah.
After 29 on the back, $2.7 million.
That's
not
awesome.
Bad. So, yeah. Yeah, just incredible.
He's
him.
A brilliant
Get that
player,
on the broadcast.
Man. I love him. Like, I really, really enjoy him as a TV product, because he
does
seem like a hell of a guy off. Like, how the hell is he not on full swing? Like, he has to be on full swing next year. I would be so surprised if they don't get him involved. Maybe he doesn't want to do it. But anytime you see him,
he cusses too much for them.
Anytime you see him interviewed, anytime you see him, like, just off the court, he's always engaging with the fans. Like, I know this is such a stupid thing, but he's walking off the course yesterday. I understand he made $2 million on the back nine, so he's in a pretty good mood. But he's high-fiving every kid. Like, he's stopping. He's talking to people. I really, really like the guy. And then to have him inside the ropes, him talking to himself, him throwing balls in the water, I feel like he should be, you know, portrayed as a bigger star than he is. Like, he's just a really, really enjoyable watch. He's an everyman out there. He gets really pissed off. He's throwing his ball in the water. And then when he's hot, there's not many guys in the world better putting than him. Like, he is a really, really fun player to follow. I hope he gets in on full swing for next year.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I'm going to just do a quick little drive-by on Aaron Rye there. Two gloves, you do what you want. And I know the backstory of his father bought him clubs they couldn't afford when they were a kid. That's awesome. You're a pro. Get those iron covers off. You are on the PGA Tour playing one of the most iconic venues in the sport. You want to wear two gloves and look like an idiot? That's your prerogative. Clearly it worked out okay.
Yeah.
The iron covers ain't helping anything, buddy. Burn them in a fire. Just please. So needed to get that in. Yeah, go ahead.
And one more thing about the Netflix. I forget who I saw tweet it. I think Claire Rogers. Does that sound right? She tweeted out.
Sounds like a name.
She tweeted out that for one of the episodes next year, they should do a Minwoo Lee episode. And I was like, that is the best. Yeah, it was Claire Rogers. I just want to give her credit from golf.com. I was like, that is an excellent idea. That, you know, because, you know, it's got to be tough, man. Your sister is a stud. Like, she is one of the best players on the LPGA Tour. How many majors has she won? I think she's won multiple majors. She's a winner on tour. You got to, like, there's got to be an interesting dynamic between those two. I would love to see that as a Netflix documentary.
Yeah, that would be good. I mean, it's like it's the Spieth and Thomas thing, except on steroids because of the even bigger chasm. But then you throw in the chasm of, and I genuinely don't know this, like, what are his finances like versus her finances? There could be a kind of opposite jealousy there of her being like, I'm way better than this, and I'm making a little bit more money.
I am 10 times the player my brother is, and I'm making half the money. Yeah, maybe there's a lot to that episode, actually.
Hmm. Okay, get on that. You have no pull there. No. You have pull to try to get a zinger. Chad Mum, executive producer of that doc, get on that. We need that. All right, just quickly making sure we didn't get anything or miss anything. Three dunks at 17. That's always fun. We mentioned Svensson murdered in cold blood by that chip in. He did hang on. Him and Hadwin, both T13 finishes. So nice. One under rounds yesterday.
Nice job,
Good job for
them. Boys, they're making some cash.
That's what I was going to say. I don't have the number in front of me, but you don't know how good that is for them to have that weekend. Big boy check-in. Rory just didn't have it. Rom got sick. And this does kind of go back to what we were talking about with Scheffler. And look, these guys try to peak at the right time. So I'm not going to say this element of it is luck. Clearly, Scotty's got something figured out there. But it's about when you peak in this sport. If there would have been a major a month ago, Rom and Rory would have felt like locks for it. And, you know, Rory's game sliding now. Rom's got this illness. Not to say they won't be heavily favored at Augusta or up there among the favorites, but it is kind of crazy how you have to strike while the iron is hot. And then the other guy I was thinking about with Scheffler as well is Morikawa. And not that he's faded away by any means, but we were sitting here thinking, oh, there's never going to be a year that he doesn't win a major. And all of a sudden, it's been a while. So you got to strike while the iron's hot. You got to take advantage of it. But yeah, with Rom and Rory not around this weekend, that's what it got me thinking about with the chef.
Morikawa really faded away too, because he was leading after the first round. You really thought it was going to be one of those weekends where the putter's really hot. Like, he made everything on Thursday, and he's the type of guy that when the putts are going in like that, there's no one in the world that's going to beat him. Like, his iron play is just elite, and it's always the putting with him. So I thought for a second here, I'm like, oh, well, this could be a runaway for Morikawa. Then he really faded away. I just quickly, before we move on here, I just wanted to go back to Svensson, because it was really awesome to have him as the leader of the Players Championship. I know it's just Saturday, but like, you're playing in a group with Scottie Scheffler. He's an unbelievable player. I thought he fought pretty hard until he made that triple bogey, but you know, good on him. That's huge experience. Like, that's just major championship sort of experience. And he's going to go into these non-elevated events. Like, I'm assuming he's probably going to play a couple more of these non-elevated events than, you know, some of the big guys will, with this experience where he's like, I'm one of the big dogs among the littler dogs. Is that fair? Like, I'm kind of elevating myself into that good middle class here, where if I go into these sort of non-elevated events, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see him. I don't know if he's playing this weekend or not, but like, in these non-elevated ones, in the sort of, you know, top 10 guys in betting, you know, if you're looking at the favorites for a tournament, if he's going to be involved, I could really see him being in that range. So I think having that sort of pseudo major championship experience, playing on a Saturday with the best player in the world, like that, I know it didn't go well for him and he ended up making, you know, a lot of money and he got some great experience. I just think that's an awesome thing for Adam Svensson going into the rest of the season to have that experience.
Yep, Valspar coming up. Hadwin, of course, has done well. Another Canadian. So, yeah, that's right. Yeah, and Svensson's been a guy who's had some good results on the DP World Tour too. So those fields should probably bode pretty well for him in terms of what he'll see. Should he tee it up at the Valspar? You'd like to see him. And yeah, just good on him. Those reps can never hurt. And you know, it just kind of shows you the depth of Canadian men's golf. No Mac, no Corey this weekend. You still have two guys just outside of the top 10. Quickly, just had the leaderboard in front of me here. Did not plan to talk about this. I don't even know if you saw this. Tom Hoagie, can't believe I'm going to talk about him. Did you see his complaint about the tournament?
I did not. I saw him set the course record on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, he was asked about, you know, having a good time with the players, and he just fired off a tweet about, it's too healthy in player dining. Can we please get some cheeseburgers in there? There's too many vegetables. And I don't know, somebody found this man a cheeseburger, because then he went out and shot the course record. So just a man after my own heart.
I was going to say, is that
me some grease down my gullet?
I was going to say, that's a Brent Gunning move right there. That's like, you know, are you sure it wasn't you playing the players?
Buddy, I don't want to get too off the rails here, but I did have some steamed broccoli the other day.
Oh my god!
Mixed it into my diet, so yeah, look out, Lacombe, Alberta. you don't know what's coming there. Okay, anything else we got? Oh, Spieth, just the full Spieth experience. Makes the cut on the number, goes bananas on Saturday. Can't do anything. He had a quote while he was on the third hole of the golf tournament, saying to his caddy, "I feel like I'm going to snap hook everything." I tell you all the time, I don't get the appeal. I think I'm starting to get it. He truly is the most one of us of the elite golfers, just in that it can go at any given minute. Obviously, he can snap it back at any time as well. But I saw that quote from him, and I was just dying, because that's the appeal right there.
I saw that screenshot of him when the, with the banana hook to the right that ended up banging off that guy's knee and back into play, and he makes an eagle. And he, the quote was, "What do you say? It's like, is that in the hazard?" And the tweet said, "Yeah, he made eagle on this hole." And it looked like he was just going straight in the drain. This is the most, like, that quantifies Jordan Spieth to me, that he just hits a wild drive, bangs off a guy's kneecap, gets it to the side of the green, and then the magician with the short game gets it into the hole for an eagle. It just kind of, you know, that's Jordan Spieth in a nutshell. So I really don't love watching him play, if I'm being honest. It's just too erratic. Like, yeah. I like guys, you know, I like
it's the exact opposite of Scheffler, honestly.
He really is. Like, I just, it's too much. I don't know what's going to happen. There's no predictability to his game. His driver might go, his putter might go, his middle game. Like, there's no predictability at all. And I like a little bit of predictability when I'm watching pro golfers, you know? Like, it's just too much of a roller coaster for me. Like, I was looking at him. He was 33-1 to win the Players' Championship pre-tournament. I'm like, you know what? Like, he is way too low down the card for how good of a golfer he is. But I'm like, who in their right mind would bet that? And you got to be a psychopath. Like, I don't want to try to cheer for this guy. It's insane. So I guess that's why all the American guys love cheering for him so much, because it's such a roller coaster. And, like, if he does win a big one, it's a really, you know, it's going to be incredibly exciting. Like, if he wins the Masters or wins a major or, you know, wins the PGA Championship to complete the career Grand Slam, you know it's just going to be an insane win where crazy crap happens the entire time. So I guess maybe that's the appeal. But for me, a little bit too wild.
That'll be a more annoying day on golf Twitter than whenever Liv kicks back up again, is what
this weekend.
I just mean, like, whenever they, like, should there be another wave or rumors of defections? It's like, that will be the only thing that can rival my annoyance.
Gunnar, I got to tell you something, buddy. I don't think that's happening.
Oh, no, it's done. That is that ship. She has sailed. So I was going to save that for the end, but fired up for Liv. You are our correspondent, our man, at least spiritually, on the ground. Are you fired up? You going to check out the combine they're doing?
I have big weekend this weekend. I don't know how much sports I'll be watching in general before the Leafs game on Saturday night. If I got a couple minutes on the couch, I'll turn it on, see what's going on. I love seeing just – I think it's a really appealing, funny kind of product to watch. Like, I like it for different reasons than I thought I would. I just, it's very corny. The broadcast is borderline parody. Like, you know,
Be talking about that guy drinking out of the shoe?
Maybe.
Will they still be doing that a week later?
I think it's kind of, you know, it's just kind of a train wreck to watch, and I kind of enjoy it. And there's actually some sick players mixed in with some sick shots. So, like, there's times where I have to change it because it's so cringy. But there's other times where I am absolutely locked in. So we'll see if I get some TV time this weekend, if I'm going to turn it on or not. But yeah, listen, they're going to Tucson, Arizona. I'm going to Tucson, Arizona to play some golf. So I'm not going to Tucson, but I'm going to Arizona to play some golf. So, you know, maybe a little bit of, you know, serendipity there. But yeah, like, you know, they're going to have a tough go here. I don't know how you keep getting a rating of two people and you keep pumping quadrillion dollars into this. Like, I know the Saudis have all the money in the world, but, like, at some point, no?
Well, I don't think the worry is that the quote-unquote money dries up. I just worry that they, like, I think the worry there would be they get bored of it and go, if we're going to waste this money, I've done golf. This is boring. Let's bring polo back or something.
Yeah,
like, honestly, like, that's where my head goes with it. If they think it's the smart thing to do, they'll bleed and burn the money forever, and we don't need to get into that conversation. But I will say, and I don't want to tell any tales out of school, but just with the type of trip you have planned, I don't know, you should reach out to the people. A live activation with the group you got going, I don't know, it could, stranger things have happened. Like you said, it's a little corny and it's a little hokey. Not that your group is, but you get what I'm saying there.
I imagine, I don't know if people would like that too much if I went and played, like, with some live guys. I don't know. Just rocking my Crushers hat.
I love it.
Liv, this is a complaint for Liv. I went on the Liv website and...
You can't get merch?
No. I thought the Crushers hat was actually sick. It's like a mesh back with that cheesy logo on the front. I'd wear it and play golf and just piss everybody off. I really wanted to buy it. And the only merch you can buy is just a hat that says Liv Golf. The one that, like, that Patrick Reed wears. I'm like, if you are trying to, like, promote your product...
Honestly.
Sell some things. Like, you know, they obviously just have a lot of money behind them because they're not doing it very well in terms of promoting, in terms of, right? Like, it's just
you're not wrong.
It's very clearly just like a rich guy's toy. You can just tell. Like, it's just a guy that's like, it's like, you know, a crappy NFL owner running a team that, like, I don't know, maybe like it's like Dan Snyder running the Commanders. It's like, I am just so obscenely rich and I don't really have to care about this, right? Like, it's just like,
yeah,
promote it better. Like, be a little less cheesy. Like, it's just, if I was in head of communications for Liv, which I don't think I want that as a job, it'd be a really, really, really hard, crappy job, I think, at this point. They could just do things better to make it a little bit more appealing. Like, sell some merch of your teams. Anyways.
Could you imagine?
The Liv correspondent for the golf show is a little bit pissed off about Liv right now. I don't think they're doing a good enough job.
All the Big J journos in your email inbox, if you had that job, you don't want any.
Oh,
any
my
parts
God.
Of that.
Alan Shippenchuk and Kyle Porter just sending me hate mail every day. It'd be really fun.
And then some guy named Gunning in Toronto is just like, you'll pay for this. Look what you've done to my sweet tour. Okay. So we talked on Liv. Quickly, I'm not breaking any news here. That is just an awesome finish to that tournament there. 17 gets all the love, rightfully so. Awesome hole. But the fact that you have water in play down the left on 18, on 16, there's water in play by the green on the right side. There is nowhere you can hide down the stretch there. And I'm not saying it makes for the most compelling golf shots, because you do have to kind of play it one way and one way only there. But there is just nowhere to hide. You got to go out and earn it. And I just love that in an event that they're going to consider their own major, or the biggest field, or however they're wording it these days.
So the drivable
par four,
I saw, who was it? Nolan Up was tweeting about it.
Oh, okay.
They got to get rid of the rough by the water, because it takes away from the risk reward factor of it. Because we saw Hideki yank one a little bit, like not a lot, but like it was a little baby pull. And he gets a bailout and it stops before it goes in the water. And it's like, well, where was the risk then? It's not like it's just reward. These guys can obviously hit that very far. And you see Homa blast
the flagstick and par.
That is unbelievable, by the way, that he smoked the flagstick with a driver. And then it stops up on the collar and he made a birdie on it. So it's like, to me, these risk-reward holes that they've put together, like even on 17, cut that collar down. Like the whole point is hitting the green. If you put too much spin on it, if you hit it a little bit short, like I get having the trap, have a little bit of trap, rough around the trap, I understand that. But outside of that, make it even harder. Like the ball in the water on the last round or someone in the chase, it's an electrifying moment. Like to me, they got to cut down those collars on a couple of risk-reward holes. But yeah, it's a really, really exciting course, and I love watching him play it, and it's just a perfect venue for that. And yeah, 17 is the best par three on tour by far. Like in terms of just like the crowd and everything. Mm-hmm. Like there's nicer ones, clearly, like 12 at Augusta, don't get me wrong, nicer.
Yeah,
like all those, like 16 at Augusta, like, you know, like you can talk to me about ones that are nicer, but just in terms of best moment of maybe the season is 17. Like, it's such a great thing to have there. And the crowd is great there. And there's aces this week. I love 17.
Yeah, 17's great. And you can cut the collar now because we got the Tiger fist pump from the basically chip in off the collar when he was at the USAM there. And he's wearing that sweet pine straw hat with the shorts and the coral shirt. So we've had that moment. So I don't care if anyone else ever has it, unless Charlie Woods is going to go play in that. And this is my just annual PSA. If we ever get Charlie Woods in a USAM, I need him wearing one of Dad's outfits from back then. He's his own man. He's going to do what he wants. I don't even know if he's good enough to get in those things.
Yeah,
I imagine he is.
True.
But if he is, I need him wearing that pine straw hat with that amazing coral shirt. McKee, you're a man who likes to wear an amazing coral shirt from time to time.
Once in a while.
Once in a while, you bust out some color occasionally. Yeah. This was a lot of fun. Always love it. We can confirm April 1st in Toronto on the Fan. Masters preview will be coming out then. We'll also get it to you wherever you get your pods. And then rolling.
And some talk about me playing desert golf. Yeah, I'm going to Scottsdale for 3 or 4 days with our mutual buddy Keegan for his bachelor party. So we're going to go. I think I'm playing 136-hole day and 218-hole days. Lots of golf, probably some orange crushes. and going to enjoy myself. So really looking forward to playing some golf because, boy, the Toronto weather. We played golf last year. I looked at my Golf Canada app, which keeps a great, you can look at when they, how many rounds you played, the first round, all that stuff, keeps track of it beautifully for me. The first round we played last year was April 2nd at Don Valley.
Wow.
I don't think, something tells me with the way it's still snowing somehow right now, something tells me we will not be playing golf on March 1st. I'm sorry, April 1st this year. Something tells me.
And this is just because we are who we are, or at least I am who I am. Let's hope we have some leaves to keep us busy into April, deep into April.
Deep into April would be nice. How about into May for one time?
Look, I'm not getting greedy in my life. Okay. just get me to game seven the way it's going right now. No. All right. You do not come here for Leafs commiserating. You get that from me literally everywhere else. Oh, and him too. Golf guys, Gunning and McKee, like I said, April 1st on the Fan. Don't have an exact time yet, but in the morning on the Fan, we'll give you our Masters preview. McKee will be talking about playing desert golf. Hopefully he doesn't get bit by any snakes. That's always a worry for me here. I can only imagine how I feel out there. So thanks so much for listening. It's been the Golf Show. Congrats to Scotty Scheffler, and big congrats to the Adams, Hadwin, and Svensson. A couple of T13 finishes for them. We'll be back in a couple of weeks talking some Masters, talking some desert golf, and whatever occupies our golfing minds. Thanks so much. It's the Golf Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.